Good morning, everyone. Welcome. And welcome to everyone who's looking and waiting and listening on YouTube. You're welcome. Let's just pray. Heavenly Father, we bless you and thank you for this day. We thank you that we can meet in freedom, Lord, this morning to worship and adore you. Holy Spirit, we ask that you will move among us and that you will show us how to worship in spirit and in truth. Lord Jesus, we turn this service over to you, each and every one of us, and we ask that you will move on us, Lord. Reach us, touch us. We all come with different things, Lord. Some with joy, some not so joyful, and some quite sad. Lord, you know our hearts. Nobody better than you. So, Lord, move among us. Heal us, touch us, and give us that joy that only you can give. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. I think we're going to take the offering, but before that, I'd just like to thank Jan and all the people that worked for the pancake flip. There were quite a few of us there. I think Alex won, didn't you? I think it was a bit raggy by the time he finished with it. But it was a good night of fellowship and friendship. I'm afraid on our table, the quiz, we failed miserably. But there again, there were Sue and I on that table, so we talked. I think that was probably the problem. But we want to say a big thank you, because it's not done easily. It's done with a lot of hard work. So if we can give them a clap.
Morning, everybody. Good to see you all again here this morning. And of course, welcome to everyone who's watching us on YouTube. Thank you so much for the worship team for the sun worship this morning. It's really good to get off to a good start, as I always say, don't I? But that last one, the battle belongs to the Lord. It's a real encouragement. And to be reminded that our God is greater than anything that we face. So thank you to you all for that this morning. So just a few notices for this week. Tomorrow, the ladies' meeting, I'll be meeting down here at church at 1:30. Tuesday morning, mums and tots at 10 o'clock. The warm space that's been taking place on the Thursday, on all day Thursday, has now come to an end. But instead of that, we're doing a lunch club. It's just a shorter version, really, of what we've been doing for the last few weeks. But it's from half past 11 until 2 o'clock. And we'll be serving light lunch, soup, sandwiches. Just a really good time for people to come and have a sandwich, enjoy, be together. We're asking for donations of £2 per person just to cover the cost of the food. But please do come, bring your friends. It's just a social occasion, a chance to us all, for us all to get together in the middle of the week. So that's starting from Thursday till we decide we've had enough. Well, however long that will be. So then on Friday the 3rd of March, it's the Women's World Day of Prayer. We're having a time of prayer in church for about an hour at 6:30 in the evening. If anyone wants to know any more details about what this is about, Suzanne's the lady to speak to. So that's next Friday. And then on Saturday morning, where the prayer meeting will be taking place down here at church at 9:30. Sunday the 26th of March, we have our annual general meeting after the service at 12 o'clock. I mentioned last week, if anyone wasn't here, Jan, George and Livy have come to the end of their three-year stint, if that's what you want to call it. But they are happy to be re-elected to serve for another 3 years. But they will need nominating and seconding by church members, please. So if you could do that as soon as possible. They need to be in by Saturday the 18th of March to be in, so that we can put the notice up ready for the meeting. If anyone feels that they're being led to serve on the diaconate, or if you know anyone that you think might be, please speak to David or Rob, and they, of course, will need to be nominated as well. So a few advance notices. Sunday the 2nd of April, which is Palm Sunday, we have our next Messy Church. Please do invite family, friends. It's always a really good time. A bit of a different kind of service, obviously, but really good to get together and worship God in a different way. And then the following Tuesday, the 4th of April, Jan's organising a mini Messy Church, which is more of a community thing, really. It's an after-school event. Is it 3:30 till 5? Oh, it's up there. 3:30 till 5, and it's going to be probably the first Tuesday of every month. She will need a bit of help, please, if anyone's able to. There's a sheet at the back to sign up, just to perhaps do refreshments and just to all sorts of little jobs. Nothing too taxing, but she will need help with this, please. So if anyone's able to do that, if you'd like to sign up at the back. And then on Maundy Thursday, which is the 6th of April, we're having a service of reflection down here at church at 6 o'clock till 8. We'll be having a meal, quite an authentic kind of meal. I'll not say too much about it. I don't want to spoil it. But it will be a reflective time with prayer, and we will be taking communion. So please do sign up as soon as you can for that, please, because we do need to know numbers. All the other Easter activities we'll be telling you about later, because there's a lot of stuff going on at the minute. So website, Facebook page are all regularly updated, as I say, every week. And please do give us a call if you need anything during the week. So would the younger members of our church family like to leave us now, please? And go and do whatever you're doing. before I sit down, I'm just going to read the scripture this morning, and it's from Genesis chapter 2, verses 15 to the end of the chapter. Very easy to find. It's on page 2. Not far to look. So the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "You may surely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die." Then the Lord said, it's not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helper. I will make a helper for him. Now out of the ground the Lord had formed every beast of the field and every bird of the heavens, and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called every living creature, that was its name. The man gave names to all livestock and to the birds of the heavens and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found a helper fit for him. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and while he slept, took one of his ribs and closed up its place with flesh. And the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman and brought her to the man. Then the man said, "This at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed."
Thanks, Carol, for reading God's word there. And thank you, Tina, and the worship group as well, for leading us in sung worship and prayers and stuff at the beginning of the service. That is brilliant. Thank you. So good morning. Good morning, everybody. Good morning, everybody on YouTube as well. It's very nice to see you all. Last week we started our series leading towards Easter, if those of you that were here and awake can remember. And we are looking at developing and strengthening our confidence. I hope that lots of you have decided to join in with the daily devotionals. I think if you haven't, they did start on Wednesday. Wednesday's was quite a short little introduction-y kind of one. But if you haven't joined in with those, it's not too late to do that. See me or David or at the end of the service, we can explain how to how to join those daily devotionals, or it'll be a reminder, I'm sure, in the email tomorrow. And don't forget that if house groups want to be looking at the same things, then I've got some materials there for small groups and house groups. Anyway, last week we looked at the confidence that can come through being convicted of the truth of the gospel. That was the theme of last week's sermon, and it was the theme of the devotionals that we're going through daily from the LICC. And the idea is that confident Christians are more effective, more efficient ambassadors, I guess, of Christ in the community. So we're trying to develop our confidence in order to go out and be witnesses, really. And this morning we're having a bit of a look at the growth in confidence that happens when we're part of a supportive community. A supportive community that encourages us to live wholeheartedly for Jesus. So that's the idea, the key verse, I guess, that Carol read just now, is it is not good for man to be alone, to try and do this alone. Let's pray before I witter on anymore, because I obviously need help. Heavenly Father, Lord, I just want to thank you for church. I want to thank you for church and what that means in a small and local setting, this particular church, this particular fellowship of believers. But Lord, I want to thank you for what it means in a broad and universal setting as well. The fact that we are all part of a global church. A global church of Christians who care deeply about each other, about each other's welfare, and about each other's eternity. Lord, help us to draw strength and confidence in the fact that we have people that we don't know, we'll never meet, praying for us, cheering us on. Lord, I thank you that this morning you've provided us with scripture. And I thank you that your scripture shows us a sure and a certain direction for our lives when everything feels bewildering or confused. And Father, we pray that as we listen to those words and that we engage with your scriptures, we would indeed be convinced that we are hearing from you. Be convinced that you are speaking directly to us and into our hearts. Lord, speak words of encouragement to us, Father, this morning. And do that so that we may encourage others. In Jesus' name. Amen. So the Bible is pretty clear, I think, that faith is an individual response. It's something that we all do in relation to God. But I think it's also very clear that the Christian is not designed to live a spiritual life in isolation from other believers. And there are a few verses, I think, that point that out. I've picked some, not quite at random, on the screen. Oh, that's a bit annoying. As iron sharpens iron, it says in Proverbs, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. In 1 Thessalonians, it's written, therefore encourage one another, build each other up, just as, in fact, you are doing. In Hebrews, it says, do not neglect to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. In Ephesians, it talks about bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. There is one body, it goes on and on. So there are various verses, really, that maybe confirm what we already feel, that although we've got to be equipped to live our lives when we all go out and we're all scattered amongst everyday folk, I guess, maybe non-believers, gathering together as a community, as a Christian community, is absolutely vital. Gathering together as a church is absolutely vital as to grow as disciples of Jesus. And it's absolutely vital because it encourages us in our sense of confidence that we are not, when we are not together anymore. And I think the last 3 years have kind of confirmed some of that to us, haven't they? During those years of pandemic, if we go back almost 3 years now to the pandemic months when the COVID started, we certainly had, every single one of us, that idea of community rammed home to us, how important it was, because suddenly it wasn't there anymore. The great theologian Joni Mitchell once said, "Don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you've got till it's gone?" But when we were no longer able to meet together, when we were separated, we really missed that importance of being together, didn't we? That importance of relationship. And we struggled to then sort of compensate with Zoom and Teams and, you know, all that sort of stuff. It's the only reason, pretty much, that we continue to stream our services. We know that there are people from this fellowship who can't physically make it to the building anymore. And we want them to be able to still join with us, despite the fact that they can't be with us physically. It allows them to remain part of us. You know, they through that bit of tech. So why else is Christian community important then? I was kind of reflecting on this during the week as I was thinking about this talk, and I was thinking that one of the really sad things is when people walk away from Jesus. I guess if we were looking at things in the sort of biggest picture possible, that should probably be the saddest thing in the world to us. If we've got a friend or a family member who then walks away from faith, that should deeply matter to us, shouldn't it? Because that's a ripple that echoes throughout eternity. But I'm thinking about people who appear to be committed to Christ and then just decide to stop following for whatever reason. You know, as I said, that they're throwing away eternal life. And it happened to one of my friends at school. I wasn't a Christian at the time, but he was. He used to go to church and he used to go to house groups and stuff like that. And he's not anymore. And looking back, in retrospect, I can see that that wasn't a spur-of-the-moment just decision that he decided. It was something that happened very gradually to him. He stopped going to his Bible study group as regularly, and then he stopped going at all. He stopped making Sunday mornings a priority, meeting with other Christians. Occasionally he would not go, and then he just sort of stopped. Like so many other people, he stopped reading his Bible as regularly, stopped talking about it at school, stopped meeting with other Christians regularly. He started, I guess, then to have doubts, and then those doubts about the truth of the Bible and whether God loved him and then whether God actually even existed, and it just ended up that he ended up drifting away. And that idea of spiritual drift is quite dangerous, isn't it? Because it's not something that a lot of people just suddenly decide, it's just something that gradually, insidiously gets into our brains. And it's what many of those verses that were up on the screen earlier on were warning against. And that's why community is so important, why it's so difficult to do it on your own. Because drifting isn't a dramatic thing. It's really gradual. It's really hard to spot that it's even happening. It's barely noticeable until it's almost too late. It doesn't even really appear to be particularly serious. And that's exactly why we need to be hyper aware of the fact that it can happen and does happen. When I was a kid, my grandparents, my dad's mum and dad, used to live in a little town on the south coast called Dymchurch. It's a seaside town on the Kent coast, not all that far from Folkestone. And once a year, usually in the summer, around about Father's Day, all the tribe of my dad and all my aunts and uncles, he's one of five, would meet up at my grandparents' house. So all my aunts and uncles, all my cousins and that, we'd all make the effort to meet up for the day. And very often, we would end up in the afternoon going to the beach. There'd be cricket matches, and for anyone that was sort of under the age of 15, there'd be swimming in the sea. I can't imagine swimming in the channel anymore, but I used to really love it. So there was swimming in the sea. And I remember one time being in the water, and I was floating face down in the water, sort of on my belly. And I was completely engrossed in the challenge of how long I could hold my breath for. So I'd sort of float there. And then, that was 43, so I'll try again. And see if you could beat my... I was seeing if I could beat my previous best. Okay, so... So that's what I was doing. And I lost all track of time because I was so completely caught up in doing that. And there was the warm sun that was on my back, and it was a lovely, you know, I probably couldn't even imagine the sewage that was probably floating past me, but it wasn't exactly the Mediterranean, but still. And then I lifted my head out of the water, and blow me, the entire family had gone. All of them, right? Not... Complete and utter panic. 20 people in my family, they're all gone. Every single one. It was bad enough my brother had gone, but he'd been trying to get rid of me for about, you know, however long, 8 years, 9 years by that point. That wasn't much of a surprise. But even my mum had gone. Gone. What'd she done leaving me there? Well, actually, the family hadn't gone. I looked to one side. They were about 50 metres up the beach. That's where they were. They were on firm land. They hadn't moved at all. But I had. I drifted along in the current along the beach. I'd been washed down by the waves. And I'd only noticed when I looked up and I realised that actually I wasn't orientated where I should have been. And it was so gradual and so gentle that I hadn't even noticed it was happening. And that's the thing about spiritual drift. We don't really notice it until one day we look up and we raise our eyes and we find ourselves miles from Jesus because we've been focused on other stuff. We've been engrossed in other things. Other things have been taking our attention. And that's one of the issues that those verses were warning about. That's the very real and present danger, I guess. That's the danger that we need to guard against. And that's one of the reasons why meeting together is so important, because one of the ways that we can avoid spiritual drift is to listen to God and trust Him together. We most often do that when we come together as a church community. We join together to worship in song and in prayer, and in listening to His word in Scripture. And this is crucial because it's in the Bible that we hear the Holy Spirit talking to us. And He's talking to us today. And it's in the Bible that we hear God's voice, and we hear it today in God's word for today. And so the encouragement is to listen to God's word every day. And that keeps our eyes focused on where we should be, and that keeps us orientated in the right direction. It's really important because every day we've got competing voices in our lives that talk to us very, very loudly. And we might not really realise that they're there. And if we listen to those other voices, they will lead us astray. And we will end up drifting. You know, every time we watch the TV, we hear another voice. And I'm not saying that television is anti-Christian. I really like television. You know, it's nice. It's good. It's fun. But I'm just saying that we need to be aware that every time we turn the television on, there are other voices there. There's other worldviews there that are being dripped into our ears. You know, just think of the adverts, for example. Not even the TV programs that you might be watching, but the adverts tell you that you'll only be happy if you buy this or that, or you invest in whatever it might be. And when we keep hearing those voices just dripping into our brains, then it's very easy to keep believing them, because advertising is very, very powerful. That's why people spend millions of pounds on advertising. If it didn't work, they wouldn't do it, would they? And it's not just the TV adverts. You know, as we spend time with unbelieving friends and colleagues, we hear another voice. We hear another worldview. And again, I'm really not saying that non-believing friends are a bad thing to have. Our friends, I'm sure, are very nice people. I like spending time with my non-believing friends. You know, my non-believing family and colleagues are polite and kind and hard-working and law-abiding. Okay, I'm not saying that they're evil, nasty people. But if they're not Christians, they will have a different outlook on life. They will fundamentally have different values and a different worldview and different priorities. And so every day we will be hearing a different voice from them. And it's really easy to drift. Even in good times, it's even easier to drift when hard times are upon us. It was easy for me to drift along in that beautiful, calm day in June with the sun on my back. It would have been easier for me to drift in the middle of a storm. I'd have ended up way further down the beach. Or in Calais. But when hard times come, when health fails, when employment is lost, when prayers seem to be unanswered, it's even easier to drift. So we must really regularly listen to God's word. And we must be reminded and encouraged by friends who are giving us a reliable direction. In other words, each other. Each other is who we have that will do that for us. And I think it's reciprocal as well. Just as other people help us focus on the right thing, we are encouraged in those verses that we saw to do the same to other people. Okay? We're encouraged, we are called to encourage each other, to encourage other people. Well, of course, it's true that going to church doesn't make you a Christian, any more than going to McDonald's makes you a hamburger. But it is impossible to encourage each other and build each other up unless you're part of a church and unless that is a priority. We need to be around each other to encourage each other. And that is an act of kindness. It's a kind thing to do to encourage each other. So, how do people gain confidence and grow in Christian character? So, I've said one key ingredient is this Christian community. Individually, we need to be deliberate and take responsibility for creating it, for caring for it, and for using it to help each person in the congregation grow spiritually. One of the Bible verses that I had earlier on was from Thessalonians. It said, therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as, in fact, you are doing. And that Thessalonian church back in the day was going through a tough time. It had some difficult questions. But Paul reminds them that they were to encourage each other with the truth of the gospel. They were to help one another apply the truths of God's word to their lives. And I think the key bit, as I've said, is that word, or those two words, one another. Encourage one another. This is reciprocal. It's a two-way process. It's not a duty that's left to a few people, but it's a ministry that belongs to absolutely everybody in the church. And I don't just mean this church, I mean the global church. We are praying for other believers in other places. But on a local level, we can be much more proactive in encouraging each other when we know each other, when we know what each other are going through. We all have our part to play in encouraging and giving confidence to one another. One of my favourite sights and sounds, it's really nice living quite close to Rother Valley. I'm sure you'll all have seen it. One of my favourite sights and sounds is when a flock of geese is on the move. Isn't that beautiful? And they fly in that V shape and they honk. So you can even like realise that it's coming and go and look out of the window or get into the garden so you can see them go past. And they honk to keep the flock together. They're encouraging each other to keep going, keep flying. And rather beautifully, they also look after one another, to those geese. If one goose falls behind, then other geese will fall behind with it and pace it back into the flock. Look after it until it's recovered or, you know, recovers energy or whatever it might be, and then pace it back into the main flock. And so I think spiritually we could learn a lot from a goose. We need to channel our inner geese. Ensuring each other that we keep to our spiritual flight path and supporting each other in our time of need. In the pursuit of godly confidence, let's not try and go it alone. You know, there are things that we can do that help us, but we need each other as well. We need people too, and people need us. And we see that throughout Scripture. From the very beginning of creation, we see that humankind is destined for community. As Carol said, it's not good for us to be alone. I think she was channeling the words of God. It's not good for us to be alone. And similarly, at the heart of the proverb about iron sharpening iron, that in Proverbs 27, there is a simple yet profound truth that there is no such thing as a self-sharpening sword. It doesn't exist. For a blade to maintain its cutting edge, it requires contact with something equally as tough as it. And for us, that is good Christian friends. Friends who genuinely want to help us grow and stay sharp. You know, those people are essential if we are to become more confident in our faith. And a church community provides space for encouragement, which can be comforting to us, but also challenging when we're facing a tough situation that we need to step up in. And that's maybe why small groups are so valuable. There often just isn't time on a Sunday to get to know each other. Not really well. But in a house group, there are friendships that are developed on a much deeper level. We can encourage each other and help each other grow. And so in this spirit of active encouragement, I'd like to have a time of group prayer this morning. So it would be really lovely if you found someone that you don't normally sit or pray with. Maybe cross the aisle. You don't have to vote blue or red. But just spend a short time in a few minutes praying with each other, getting to know each other a little bit. If you don't know each other very well, or you don't know actually, how have things really been this week? How's your week really been? Honestly, how's your week been? How's your walk with God really going? How's your Bible reading going? Is there anything that you would like prayer for? And this local church, like the Thessalonians, is designed to be a place of active encouragement that still works for us as we disperse into our lives. You know, if you're watching on YouTube and you've got things that you would like prayer for, then either get in touch privately or put it in the chat if you don't mind it going onto chat, but there are ways that you can be involved as well. So I invite you to find somebody to pray with this morning. Fellowship with them for a few minutes. Encourage each other. Pray for them and pray with them. Be prayed for. After a little bit of time, the musicians will start playing and we can join together to sing for our last song. But if you're still in the middle of prayer at that point, then that doesn't have to be the end of your goose-like encouragement. Talk about the service or pray over the coffee or tea at the end. Pray for each other this week. Maybe send each other an encouraging text message halfway through the week, or give them a ring and find out how things are going. Make an encouraging phone call about the daily devotionals. Oh, what did you think? Was that interesting? How did you find that bit? Because through encouragement, we find confidence. And when we're confident, we can be better ambassadors and we can spread the gospel much more effectively. So, I do appreciate that for some of you, that sounds absolutely horrific and you will not want to do this. You will not want to move out of your seat and you will not want to go and find somebody that you don't really know. If you feel absolutely uncomfortable with that, then that's fine. Pray with somebody that you do know. It's more important that you pray together and that you fellowship together. But if you don't mind finding somebody that you don't often talk to very much, that isn't maybe one of your immediate friendship group, then that would be wonderful. How are things going really? How's your week really been? Is there anything that you'd like prayer for? How's your daily Bible reading going? How's your walk with God going? How are you feeling spiritually? What can we pray for each other, to encourage each other? But before we break into pairs or tiny groups, let's pray together. Heavenly Father, with so many competing voices telling us how to live and what to do, with our own hearts being sinful and ready to turn from you every day, we want to thank you that you do speak to us through your word. And so all we need to do to hear from you is read your word. Father, we pray, please, would you help us be people who want to listen to your voice. And Father, we pray that we would want to be people who want to encourage each other to keep going until the very end. And Father, we ask this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Okay.
Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for this morning. Thank you for our togetherness. And we pray, Lord, that you will continue to help us to encourage one another. Lord, that's not all we in prayer groups, but just to see someone and say, how are you? Lord God, we pray that you will continue that encouragement among this fellowship. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ,